Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Think about the last dream you just had. Not so much what happened in that dream, but were you dreaming in color or were you dreaming in black and white? Listen to this.
A small segment of the population dreams in black and white, but it's possible this population will become even more rare in the years to come.
Okay, so 12% of Americans dream in black and white, which is funny because when I think about it, I'm like, I think I've always dreamt in color, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think I can probably guess why, but what's the reason?
In short, the study's authors concluded it seems likely that childhood exposure to black and white TV played a large role in whether or not someone was likely to dream without color.
Isn't that fascinating? Like, if you grew up watching black and white TV and you didn't have color, that's how you dreamt.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of makes sense, though, right? Because that's how you visualize things, right? Mm-hmm. How you put together fantasy. When you read a book and you visualize things in your mind, do you do that in black and white or do it in color? I think I've always done it in color in both.
Right. But they say that if you still visualize things in black and white, but you're not part of an older generation that grew up watching black and white TV, you may be a psychopath. Isn't
I was going to say.
Yeah.
So, you know, listen, my first televisions, they were black and white as far as like I had a little 13 inch that was in my bedroom. And that was a black and white television. But I don't dream in black and white. And I was just thinking to myself before you said that, like, I'm thankful because that would be a little bit creepy.
Right. And, you know, it's funny. I'm assuming that I dream in color, but 40% of people don't actually remember the color of their dreams, if it was color or black and white. And then I read that stat. I go, wait a minute. Am I sure? Mm-hmm. Am I 100% sure? But then I can remember because last time I was sitting on a beach stranded, I was actually on an island stranded, and I could vividly remember how blue the water was.
The biggest ones that I remember, of course, is always I'm in space, you know, because I like to be in space always.
Yep.
Or recently I've been in a lush forest.
Oh.
But I've been hiding from the end of the world, and I have a beautiful RV.
Oh.
Seems like I'm self-sufficient in there. Zombie apocalypse, World War III, whatever's going on out there in the rest of the world, it's not bothering me there.
You know, it's interesting because my mother was born and raised in Italy, and then she came here when she was a teenager. So I ask her often, because she doesn't know, and it makes her crazy that she doesn't know.
Yeah.
I ask her, does she think in English or does she think in Italian?
Mm-hmm.
And she can't figure it out. And I've asked her, do you dream in English or do you dream in Italian? And she also doesn't know. And I wonder because she always spoke to us in English growing up. I mean, she would speak to us in Italian, too. But for the most part, she wanted us to be Americanized, you know?
Yeah.
So now she'll only speak to me in Italian if she doesn't want other people to know what we're talking about.
Okay.
And I wonder, like, she has no idea. How do you not know that?
Well, I think it's the brain when it plays tricks on us. Like you think it would be, you know, logged as one way or the other, but it's just the way that she thinks. And she's clearly fluent in both. And so, you know, whichever way, like when you have a rationalized thought, it's not like you tell yourself, I'm thinking of a solution of this, right? You just something presents itself and you have a thought. It's instantaneous. So there's no thought given to it.
Well, if you feel like, wait a minute, I can't even remember my dreams, let alone if they were black and white or color. It's probably because you're just getting older, because they said that once you hit over 60, in general, it becomes much more difficult to recall details of your dreams.
How sad.
I know. It was 1998. It was my senior year of high school, and we were given one very important task.
Remember how you feel at that time where the whole world is open to you and what you say is going to be incredible and last forever?
So when we were asked to pick our senior quote, what would live on our yearbook page next to our picture for the rest of our life, I dedicated so much time and effort to pick the quote that best represent me. And I chose this.
Yo, the sun don't shine forever, but as long as it's here, then we might as well shine together.
Now, if you're not sure what that is, that would be Puff Daddy, P. Diddy. And he says from the song Victory, the sun won't shine forever. So while it's here, we might as well shine together.
Right. YOLO.
Yeah.
I mean, in a way, metaphorically, right, really philosophical of you.
And I didn't think that all these years later he would get canceled, and all of a sudden now I have to look at my yearbook and be like, oh, no.
Do you think it was like this for the greats, like Plato, Socrates? Do you think, like, when they wrote something down or they told somebody and they etched it on stone or whatever it is that they did back then, do you think that they also had to have the foresight of who would be canceled in the future?
No, I don't think so.
It wasn't a thing yet.
So I posted a picture of my yearbook photo with this quote next to it, and I put it on Instagram, and I asked you, I said, well, what should my new yearbook photo quote be at this point? And Megan suggested a Taylor Swift lyric, and it was a tough decision between one of these. I have this thing where I get older, but just never wiser. I mean, it's true. I get older and never wiser.
That's a pretty good one, actually.
Yeah, but then there's also from her song 15, if you want to get inspirational.
It just sounds like she's a big Taylor Swift fan.
I found out that time can heal most anything, and you can just might find out who you're supposed to be. Those were good, right? Yeah,
it feels a little girlish, though. Yeah. I mean, we need something more adult.
Well, Christine, she offered this on our Instagram at Anna and Raven.
Yeah. Is that hug and rub-a-dub?
Yeah, it says, we got to hug and rub-a-dub. Yeah. We've got to dance and be in love, you know, by Lenny Kravitz.
I like that one because, you know, it's kind of timeless, right? Any other choices?
Yeah, I started thinking about it, and I'm like, which songs best represent me in my life, right? And I thought, like, I'm an aggressive kind of person in general, and I was thinking maybe something from Gwen Stefani.
I love the vibe, but again, maybe a little, you're going to be an adult now.
Raven.
You're going to take over the world.
It doesn't matter that I'm in my 40s. I am not? I am not a holla back girl. I ain't no holla back girl.
Of course. Well, I mean, clearly, you've made that be known at this point. Are those all the choices that we have there?
Well, I was also thinking if I want to be humble.
Yeah,
there was that time that Usher sang this lyric to me.
Oh.
I'm a certified 20.
That's better than the second Taylor Swift one, but maybe not anti-hero. So are those all the choices?
Well, then there's the obvious choice.
Wake up in the morning feeling like Pete.
No, that one, forget that one. That one got in there by accident.
Yeah, I go with a hug, rub a dub. We got to dance and be in love. I feel like that is the winner there. No?
I feel like I have to keep thinking about this. But if you want to go to our Instagram at Anna and Raven, there's a lot of really good options that I'm still reviewing. And if you've got one too, let us know. Again, on Instagram at Anna and Raven. And you can see my yearbook photo.
We got
so
a
sad.
Hug and rub a dub. Yes, we got to dance and be in love.
Yep.
Oh, I like that one. It sums you up as a person, really. It really does.
Who was the worst person you texted by accident? 1-800-330-9999.
I was recently made aware of a strange situation here. I was talking with my friend, and apparently one of his wife's friend or his partner's friends sent him some explicit photos, like some, you know, thirst trap, like straight up, like you.
I get it.
That's what I'm saying.
Wait, but why? Wait,
so he made the partner aware of this situation right away, and then she went back to the friend and was like, and then the friend was like, I swore up and down that it was an accident. This is a total accident. It was intended for somebody else that's also in their circle, but, you know, obviously not married to her. And so now they're still hanging out and they're friends, but like there's this unease, awkwardness of mistrust amongst them. And here's my thing.
How does that happen?
That's exactly my point. I'm like, yeah, it was an accident. Huh? He's like, yeah, I never received anything like that before, this, that, whatever, from this person. But I was like, you have to like select a photo, right? And if you send more than one photo, Anna, especially, you have to like, you know, go in and select multiple photos and then put it up there, right? Like, wouldn't you draft something like that first?
Like, I don't know.
If you're doing that for the first time and you're putting it out there, I feel like you draft it, right? Like
you know how prude I am. I can't even imagine possibly. You know, having those photos in my phone and then be like, let me randomly send them to somebody. Oh, no, I accidentally sent it to my husband's best friend. That's weird.
Yeah.
It seems really like nonsense.
Right? Like, yeah. I mean, I don't know how it is that that happened. Listen, I got fat fingers, but I don't see, you know, myself making a mistake like that. I really don't.
Jen, when did you text somebody by accident?
Okay, so I was at work. I was in a meeting. I was texting with one of my coworkers. We were making plans for the weekend. I accidentally texted the meme that it was supposed to go to my coworker, to my boss, and it was MC Hammer doing Hammer Time dance.
Is your boss cool? I don't think my boss would even blink an eye. Right. I think he'd be like, yep.
Well, my boss is kind of straight-laced and like, we should be focused on work at work. So I tried to flip it and say that the Hammer meme was my reaction to a new policy that she just discussed that the company was implementing.
Right. Quick pivot. I like that. Yeah.
Smart.
It's a motivator. You were just like, this is a great idea. And then they were like, oh, well, then keep up the good work. Thanks.
Well, you mean we're going to use Microsoft Teams instead of Zoom?
Woo!
Drop the hammer right here. It's hammer time.
Turn this mother. I love it.
Oh, gosh. The one time I texted somebody by accident that was humiliating was my husband's name is Paul. Mm-hmm. And there was a guy that I was friends with that he was a professional dancer. And I worked with him on some community events. You know, he would get the dancers together.
Right.
His name was also Paul.
When you first said you worked with him, you made it sound like you were going to say like you were in a music video together.
No,
or something
no,
like
no,
that.
No, no, no. We did charity events
together.
He did
the dancing.
He did the dancing and he brought the dancers.
Right.
I like, you know, coordinated the event. But I texted him one time because I thought I was texting my husband, Paul. Uh-huh. And Dakota, my little one, was sick, right?
Yeah.
And all I texted was, Dakota has a lot of diarrhea. She's had it all day. Do you think I should call the doctor? That's all I wrote.
What was his reply?
He goes, yeah, if she's not feeling good, just call the doctor. And I read it. And
can I do anything to help?
And then all of a sudden I looked. I go, oh, my gosh. Oh my, I go, I'm so sorry. I go, my husband's Paul, too. And I'm like, and I read it really fast. And that was the dumbest thing I've ever done. A lot different than sending inappropriate pictures.
Is it? Thank God you didn't send any photos.
Did you ever text somebody by accident? You meant to text somebody else? 1-800-330-9999. What happened? Raven has a group of friends where one of the women accidentally...
texted one of the other friends' partners, and they were like thirsty photos, like explicit. Like, I mean, I think they're, you know, there might have been more than that even, right?
Oh.
And so supposedly it was an accident, and everybody's still hanging out, and they're cool together, and I get it. Like, you know, you've been friends a long time. You probably already knew some things about each other, but I'm not sure you knew that.
I don't know how that happens.
Right.
I don't know how in a million years something like that accidentally happens.
Let's say it's a slip of a finger and it's one photo. Okay. But if it's, you know, a couple photos in one message, like you had to select those.
Ugh.
Right? You had to go in there. I'm just saying, always make a draft.
Eric, when did you accidentally text somebody?
So a coworker of mine, she has the same name as my wife. And so I texted my wife, yeah, the meeting will be next week. And I texted my coworker 3 heart emojis and I love you. And my face was red for the entire day. My coworker did not let me live it down.
Yeah.
You got to name him something else.
Yeah, but right.
Yeah. She was laughing about it. Like it ended up being funny, but it was just like,
Yes, but I feel like at least in that situation, she knows that's not for her. You know, like that is a powerful thing. You can just be like, oh, my gosh, I meant to text that to my wife. I'm so sorry. And if you're on the other side of that, you're like, yeah, definitely. He made a mistake.
Right. If you text it to your best friend's wife, that's harder to explain.
That's right. Then it gets weird. Frank, what did you text by accident?
I accidentally texted my boss the pet name I have for my wife.
What is it?
Just Pumpkin. It's not anything crazy, but, you know, just immediately regretted entering that into the professional relationship.
Correct.
Is it a sir or a ma'am?
Certainly weird.
Because it's better if it's a sir, I'm going to tell you right now.
It's a guy.
Okay.
All right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, if your boss is a woman in that situation, like, yeah, that's a whole different problem.
Can you imagine if you texted me Pumpkin?
You know what I mean? Like,
and
I know
not
that's
your boss.
A problem right away.
I mean, I'm not even a boss, but just to be like, what?
Anybody.
Yes.
Right.
I mean, imagine you're the boss and you get that. You're like,
if you sent me one that said Pumpkin.
Right.
That's a problem.
It's weird anyway.
Yeah, it's a problem.
I caught it immediately. So I, you know, sent a follow-up message and tried to explain myself. I was probably a little too wordy and stuff, but he kind of just gave it a thumbs up afterwards and went about his day, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Thumbs up is the right answer to that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. If you send him another one, though. Yeah, HR. See you there.
Daria, how about you? What did you accidentally text somebody?
I accidentally texted one of my best friends to talk about another best friend. And I actually texted the best friend that I was talking about instead of the other friend.
It's a slippery slope. It happens. It happens more often than you think when you have the sidebars. So when you have a group message, when you have multiple people on it, and then somebody does the breakout text to comment about something that's happening in the group message, and now they're right next to each other, and you're juggling around, that's how mistakes happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then nobody forgets that.
Yeah.
Like, they hold on to that forever.
Well, then you always, did you try to make up a lie to cover up for it, or did you just let it hang out there?
I didn't try to make up a lie. I did make up a lie. I said, oh, my, of course I made a mistake. I am so sorry. That wasn't for you.
Well, obviously it's not for you if it's about them.
Which is funny.
I mean, that's okay. I mean, you said it so proud. I think you should work on your lies.
10% of parents regret the name that they gave their child.
Oh.
Sad.
That's kind of rough, huh?
Yeah.
To say that out loud, right? Do you say that in front of your parents, or is that one of those closed room surveys? I can say it because nobody's listening.
You know, and it's funny because my older daughter is 15, and I remember when I got pregnant with her, I ran out and I bought the baby name book. That's what everybody did. You had the baby name book. It was giant, and you would go through, and you would highlight things, and you would put little markers on pages that you liked names.
Okay.
But you don't do that anymore. And, well, when it comes to finding a unique baby name, people are getting creative. The top three ways that people find baby names are friends and family. Of course, you're always going to have heritage names that run in families.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Baby naming websites like Nameberry and Baby Center.
Yeah, I mean, it's the way of the world nowadays. That's how we get our information.
And pop culture. So movies or actors, actresses, things like that.
Yeah.
But there's this one account that has gone viral on TikTok. The name is Hodge House. And the reason why they went viral is because they go to cemeteries and walk around and they read names, and that's how they pick their children's names.
Like theirs, or like, you know, everybody's that goes to the site? Is it like a, do they have followers?
No, yeah, they have a ton of followers.
Okay.
And all their children's names have been cemetery names.
Oh, great.
Here's what it sounds like.
Magdalene, Mears, Bellamy. Monroe's a pretty name. Her name is Cornelia Viola. Battle is a cool name for a boy.
Battle is a cool name for a boy.
Yeah.
I don't hate that.
It
That's
is pretty cool.
Cool.
I mean, there was a few of them there. Bellamy. I mean, I like a bunch of those.
Honestly?
There's a baby in the background, though, like towing along, it sounds like.
Yes.
Maybe doing some laughing and playing. I don't know if that's respectful.
Oh, yeah. So I was like, at first I was, I don't know, it seemed weird, right?
Yeah.
To go to a cemetery and to walk around and all that. But I went this weekend to go visit my grandparents. Mm-hmm. You know, they're dead. They're at the, so we went to the cemetery.
That's where they would be.
That's
typically
where they
that's
are.
Not where you set up a picnic if they're not there.
Yep. Yeah. And they're inside the mausoleum. So
thank you for clarifying.
Yeah. They're not alive. Right.
Right.
So I was like, you know what? I had the girls with me. Uh-huh. I was like, you know, we went to go see No. And I'm like, let's look around. I'm like, let's check out some of these names.
Sure.
So I figured we would do it too.
Okay. We're in the mausoleum. Let's look at some of these names. We have Louise, Victor, Antoinette, Patsy, Jenny, Arthur.
I mean, they seem like pretty nice, normal names.
Yeah, those are pretty normal.
Yeah, but you know what's weird? I kept thinking, like, as I'm standing in the mausoleum by myself with my girls, it felt like I was summoning them.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, I was like, Candyman.
And
like, I'm like, are they going to rise? And, like, it felt a little spooky.
Sure.
Carmelina. Guido. Hayden, what are some of the names that you're looking at?
Fold, Judith, Alphonse.
Pilato.
And Fold, was that the first?
Fold. Fold is kind of cool and different, right?
I feel like I've never heard that before.
Yeah, so then Dakota, my five-year-old.
What names do you see, Dakota?
I see Pedro, Salvador.
What is it? Philomeo.
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 Yeah. Are you writing these down, Raven?
I mean, a couple of these. I don't plan on having any children, but I'm just like, oh, that's a good name.
You're like, are you looking for your future pets?
I'm going to etch them down. It's not a terrible idea.
I got to say, I thought it was really creepy and weird, but when I listen back, I'm like, oh, there's some good ideas there.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Beautiful.
Not bad.
Trending is powered by T-Mobile.com. Head to T-Mobile.com and get a great deal on iPhone 16 Pro. Up first, when's the last time you checked your measuring cups?
What?
Yep. It might get you some cash. Pyrex was sued, and the FTC decided that they have to pay $88,000 to people who bought Pyrex glass measuring cups that were imported from China, but written on these measuring cups say, you guessed it, made in the USA.
Wow.
Yes.
I mean, $88,000 is really nothing, and considering how many people actually own Pyrex. Mm-hmm. But still, I mean, that's interesting.
Yeah. So, of course, last night I look over and my daughter is making oatmeal raisin cookies.
Yeah.
Hayden, look at the measuring cups that you have in your hands. Is it a Pyrex?
No, it's an Anchor Hocking.
What's an Anchor Hocking? Right. Does it say it's made in China or made in USA or anything like that?
So the microwave safe for cooking use only, USA. It does say USA, but it's not Pyrex. I don't think we qualify.
We don't. I checked online.
Sorry, you won't get your $2.25 coupon.
Not even. It's going to be like 30 cents, but it's cash. And here's the best part. It's the first 10,259 people that register. You don't even have to prove anything. So I went online. I'm like, can I even get in on it? Yeah. I'm like, let me just send it in. Just in case. And I'm like, how many people do that? Also today, Amazon Prime big deal sales start. It's today and tomorrow. And Jeff Bezos will certainly get richer.
You know, here's the thing is like, I've always usually paid attention to this stuff. I don't really need anything this year.
Well,
what are you getting?
It's fascinating that you said that. I haven't looked yet, but they are saying that this is a big deal because it's going to kind of give us the first clue of spending for the holiday season.
Well, right.
So the things you're supposed to buy are the electronics and the vacuums and the luggage. There's all lots of good deals on that. I mean, the PS5 is $50 off, which doesn't seem like a lot when it costs $500.
Well, it never really happens. They're not having any trouble selling them.
Yeah,
right? So if you can get it at a discount, get it.
It's the first sale that they've had on that. The things you're not supposed to buy are anything that seems too good to be true or comes from a third-party vendor. And if you ever accidentally bought something from a third-party vendor, you'll know because you'll open it and you'll be like, what the heck is this? You know, it's like wrapped in aluminum foil.
And it has a strange smell half the time.
Yeah. Also trending, and we'll certainly talk about this more today, is Hurricane Milton headed towards the west coast of Florida. Mm-hmm. This is the mayor of Tampa, Jane Castor, when she was asked this.
What would you say to people who aren't heeding those evacuation orders?
Well, I can tell you right now that they may have done that in others. There's never been one like this. This is literally catastrophic. And I can say without any dramatization whatsoever, if you choose to stay in one of those evacuation areas, you're going to die.
Well, I mean, that's very final. Obviously, they're trying to get people to act, react, and get moving there. You know, I mean, I've got friends in St. Pete, plenty of them, and some of them that have been there for decades are now saying that this might be the time that they're leaving, that they might actually not be coming back because they were so devastated by last week's storm, by Helene, that they just don't know how they can recover financially at this point.
It's true. Like, one of my best girlfriends, her son is in Tampa. She made him come home to Naples.
Right.
And now they're trying to figure out, should they leave from there? And I've never seen her so terrified. She's never worried about these things. She's scared.
Yeah. You know, yet at the other time, there's other people that have been through this before. So my friend Luke, who's got a thriving business down there, the shop was decimated last week. Helene, they're back at work and ready to help people right after this storm, too. So they're at high ground, but there's not much of that.
All right. So we'll have more on this coming up later. Babysitting confessions. What did you do? 1-800-330-9999. As a parent, this is terrifying.
Mm.
When I was a teenager, though, I was a babysitter. And I will say, like, there's probably a thing or two that I look back on. I'm like, meh, maybe that wasn't great.
I mean, and in some ways, ignorance is bliss, of course, as long as there were no injuries. But, yeah, it's on the line, right?
Yeah. There is a YouTube page dedicated solely to babysitter confessions.
I'm a nanny. The 9-month-old I nanny for fell off the changing table. He's okay, but I didn't tell his parents.
Oh my gosh. Seriously, like, I'm going to throw up. This is what Ring cameras are for.
I fell off the changing table many times when I was a baby. My mom tells me all the time. She was the one that let me fall. She's, I don't know why you kept falling. I'm like, where were you?
Yeah, put me on something lower. Right. I mean, how about that, right? Let's put up some railings on this thing here.
Mommy, I was 6 weeks old.
Right.
What?
Right.
Yeah.
It's not fair to say that I made a decision to jump.
I mean, it's a mistake. I think that a parent would not be, most parents, I think, would not be upset if you just said, I did it, it's accidental, I did it, it was an accident. But you got to keep an eye on your kid after something like that happens, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think I would replace you if you told me that it's an accident. The baby fell off the changing table. I wasn't what? What weren't you?
You were getting a diaper. I mean, listen, it happens. I'd be lying if I said Hayden and Dakota didn't take a couple stumbles off the couch when they were little.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I babysit for my neighbors all the time. After the kids are asleep, I go in their hot tub naked.
Oh, my God.
Would you rather your child fall off the changing table?
No.
Or the naked babysitter in the hot tub?
No, I mean, neither of them are great choices, but I'm going to go with naked babysitter in the hot tub because it just feels like a safety hazard.
Yeah.
I mean, they're both safety hazards.
Mm-hmm.
This is bad.
I made the kid I babysit watch a horror movie because I wanted to watch it. No regrets.
Oh, gosh. Oh. I never understand why people make their kids watch horror movies. I remember growing up, my uncle, like, he used to watch scary movies with his kids all the time with my cousins. And they were not scared, and they grew up not scared. Maybe he did it right, because I'm terrified of scary movies.
Well, you know, I mean, a lot of it, of course, is like, you don't want to force them, but any kid that's curious, they're going to be curious about something that you told them that they couldn't be part of before. Right.
Babysitting confessions, 1-800-330-9999. Catherine.
I don't know if this is, like, really silly, but I would purposely make the kids go to bed early so I could sit outside and talk to my boyfriend. He would come over. We would sit outside. Yeah, so I would make them go to bed. Like, even if it was on the weekends, it's like, yeah, I got to go to bed. My boyfriend is coming over here. I didn't tell them that, but yeah.
I think, well, first of all, the fact that you kept him outside is respectful. I think that's nice. Mm. And also, yeah,
that's
sure.
Right.
If I was a mom or a dad, I wouldn't care. I'd be like, the sooner you can get her in the bed, the easier it is for you. Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I've got no problem with that.
Yeah. That's
as
not
long
so
as they're
bad.
Safe there, we're good.
I don't know if this is a babysitting confession, but when I was a teenager and I babysat, it was actually one of the only jobs I ever got fired from.
Mm.
And the kids, they told me that the kids were swearing. They were saying the H-E-double-L word.
Okay.
And that...
That they were learning it from you.
That they were learning it from me. And I don't know if that was true or not.
Yeah.
And I don't think so. But, I mean, who am I? I don't know. I was also 16, so who knows? Maybe.
I was going to say, considering that you're a grown woman, you still won't say it. Maybe not, right?
Right.
Would you rather pull up and find out that your babysitter is on the front stoop or the back stoop? Or would you rather pull up and have them smell like your hot tub?
I would rather, on the front stoop, it's fine.
Okay.
Right, they're there. They're doing their job.
All right.
When we asked for babysitting confessions, I didn't think we would get ones that were so bad that we could not air.
Yeah. That was an illicit, interesting story.
Maybe for the podcast. Okay.
Yeah.
What is your babysitter confession? There's a YouTube page that it's all babysitters that anonymously post what they did. And honestly, as a parent, it's my worst nightmare. But I remember being a teenager and babysitting. You didn't really think it was a big deal, right?
Right. Well, I mean, things are bound to happen. That much you can understand. As long as nobody gets truly injured. But some of these, they're quite questionable.
On our text line, I set the clock ahead so the kids would go to bed earlier. As a parent, I am 100% okay with this.
Yeah.
Yeah, get him to bed. Good.
That's an old New Year's Eve trick, right? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, the ball's dropping. It's 7:01.
Yeah. I babysat for a couple. Here's another text. The lady was a nurse. I was really interested in the male anatomy, and I would look at pictures in her nursing books.
That's funny.
You got to learn somehow.
Yeah, I mean, right? Get the information where you can.
Mm-hmm.
There are worse ways.
Here's another one. Oh, no. Once when I was babysitting, the kid killed his bird by squeezing it too hard.
Oh, my God!
I didn't know what to do, so I set it on the table and their cat got it.
Oh, no! These are all bad choices. I mean, making the best decision out of bad choices, but oh, no. And I don't want to babysit that kid after that, by the way. I just want to be clear on that.
Isa, what was your babysitting confession?
So every time I'd go out when I was younger, my parents would never let me go anywhere unless I took my sister, who was 4 years younger. Then we'd play in the street a lot. So every time a car would come down the road, I'd make her turn around and kiss a parked car so that she wouldn't get hit by the moving car.
I mean, that's just wrong. She would have to physically kiss another car.
She never got hit by a car.
Right, right. Yeah. You know. I wonder if she's still doing this now today, right, to keep herself safe on the side of the road. You know, like when you walk along a high ledge and you're like, what if I fell? Well, if you're walking along the sidewalk and you're truly worried, just kiss a car.
I wonder if she makes her children do that now. Mm. That's something that you pass down.
Well, that's exactly what I was just going to say. When her kids were young, I'm pretty sure she made them do it.
This is why you got to carry sanitizer. Thanks for the call.
Have a great day.
Chris, how about you? As a babysitter, what did you do?
Well, one time they were out in the backyard playing, so I'm comfy in the chaise lounge, and a few minutes later I was waking up. Evidently, I'd been asleep for about 40 minutes, so...
Oh.
Falling asleep on my babysitting task wasn't exactly the
How old were the kids?
Like 8 and 7.
Oh, well, I mean, that's better than, like, you know, 8 months. Yeah. Can't do that. That is not a thing.
There wasn't a pool or anything, okay. You know, I mean.
That was the first thing I thought. I was like, please don't tell me there's a pool. Okay.
This is my biggest problem, though, is, like, when I'm babysitting, is making sure that I'm, like, staying awake with the baby because he falls asleep on me.
Yeah.
And so then you got to, like, you know, you got to make sure. We can't both fit in the playpen. So, for safety's sake.
I got in so much trouble at the hospital after I had Dakota because I would put her on my chest.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just to bond. But then the baby would fall asleep. And I would fall asleep. And then the nurse would come in and be like, wah!
Yeah, no, the second sleep thing. Yeah, You can't do that.
It's so hard. You're so tired. Oh, gosh. It is so hard to be a new parent, without a doubt. But you were 20 and babysitting, so it's a lot different. A woman on her LinkedIn profile changed the banner to hashtag desperate for work, and it went completely viral. Now, is that a good idea or a bad idea? Joining us, it's Nurit Cohen. She's a future of work expert. And Nurit, I just finished reading your article for Forbes.com, and I'm just so curious. It's so hard to get attention out there when you're looking for a job. Is this a good idea?
I don't think that is something you'd want to put on your CV, right? But I think the idea that the conversation that she basically sparked in that LinkedIn post was that we shouldn't consider people saying, I am open to opportunity or open to work as a bad thing. And that's totally legit. And frankly, truth be told, we look at all the surveys out there asking people, are you going to be doing the same thing in a year from now? And we know about 50%, give or take, depending on the survey, will say yes.
There's a theory called the purple cow that I read in your article about when you do something to stand out from the group. And essentially, that's what she did because it caught the attention of 395,000 people. But in radio, we call it the hairy meatball. It's like when you're in an interview and you ask the question that's so outlandish that that's what the news starts covering. What can you do that is essentially the purple cow that'll get hiring managers' attention when you're just one out of thousands of people that are applying for a same job?
So basically, it goes all the way down to what is your personal brand, and that, which is something we never talked about. In the past, you were defined by the profession you studied and the jobs you did. But if you really clear what you are good at, what's the value you bring, what is that unique thing that you know how to do, and your ability to talk about it or show it, that's when you get attention.
Mm. So, I mean, Nurit, when saying that, you know, listen, obviously, you know, the marketing gives opportunities for us to do that, as innovative and out of the box as that is. Like, if you're a regular person in there for the interview, how can they really express and show those things? Like, how can you really shine in those brief moments?
So I think once you actually in the interview, it's a lot easier. I think part of the problem in this, you know, saturated markets is actually getting noticed even to be called into an interview.
Okay.
And we all end up ultimately looking people up, right? We have social media and you've got the person, you can have two people with really big jobs. One will have like 1,000 followers on social media and the other will have 10,000 followers. And it's not the billboard. It's what you did to get people say, wow, this person's interesting. They're bringing me value. I'm going to follow them. So depending on who you are and what you do.
Nurit, one last question I have. You know, you're a future of work expert, and as we know, a lot of the future is AI. So when you're dealing with a robot who's reviewing the resumes and you're not catching the eye of a human being, are there any practical tips you can do or words that you can put in a resume that'll flag them to bring you in for an interview or at least highlight your resume?
That's a very short-term conversation. We have technology scanning resumes for a number of years now, and I would say that that's probably not how things will go. So think about it this way. Somebody out there is sitting in a room having a conversation about something they need. And they're describing a problem, a challenge, an opportunity, and then they say, who do we know that? And you want your name to come up in the right rooms, in the right context, but you're not there. How do you make that happen? So making sure you're clear on what it is that you need to do, what others are calling it when they need it, who is going to be in that conversation. That's a conscious thought process of who are the people, where are they, that they're talking about things that I want them to know about me, and how do you make sure they know about you?
Nurit Cohen, she's a future of work expert. You can find her online at nuritcohen.com. Thank you so much for taking the time. Governor DeSantis said this earlier this morning at a press conference.
Hurricane Milton is expected to make landfall on the west coast of Florida sometime between Wednesday evening and early Thursday morning. We have 51 counties currently under a state of emergency. Hurricane Milton is still a major hurricane.
And then the Tampa mayor, Jane Castor, was asked, what about the people that are not evacuating that have been instructed to do so? And here's what she said.
There's never been one like this. This is literally catastrophic. And I can say without any dramatization whatsoever, if you choose to stay in one of those evacuation areas, you're going to die.
Oh, it's terrifying.
Yeah, it is definitely scary. Of course, Tampa is surrounded by the beach town of St. Pete, and that's exactly where my friend Luke is. Luke Phillips of Phillips Air Conditioning and Heating. They're staying on the ground there, Anna. What's it like there right now on the West Coast?
Pretty good, Mr. Raven. Hey, man, we got overcast, it's sunny, you know, it's cool out, 77, light breeze, just quiet around here because, you know, a lot of people have left. A lot of people boarded up, you know, some of us are staying, but, you know, we're in different zones. We're not on the coastline, so, but it's kind of quiet, you know, calm before the storm.
Luke, I just read that people are getting stuck on the roads because there's so much traffic and they're running out of gas, and a lot of these gas stations along the way are running out. You know, they don't have a supply, so people are just getting stranded. Have you seen that, heard that?
Yeah, it's all over the news, and we've dealt with this before. Like everybody evacuating, it's just a mad dash. So a lot of people, like myself, I'm not going to go get stuck on the road. You know, I'm in zone E, so I'm in where the same zone where everybody evacuates to. So, but anyone, you're on the coast, you got to get out, and it's thousands of people, man, hundreds of thousands, just trying to get up and get out. So they're going to get stuck.
So Luke, the shop is in zone A though. So is that coastal?
Yep.
What is that area?
Yeah, it's on the coast. We're just south of downtown St. Pete. You know, the bay is literally a half a mile that way. And Zone A is the whole coastline for everybody, all around the, you know, basically state of Florida. Like last week and a half ago, I got 29 inches of water in here. We didn't expect to get any really water, but we got it. So we're doubling down this time. So,
Luke, does this feel different this time? Because my good girlfriend's in Naples, and I've never seen her this nervous. She's scared.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is definitely, you know, I've been on here 20 years, and we always get storms, but nothing major impactful that's been happening the past 2-3 years. So it's just really just the bottom line is just got to get out of the way. Get out of the way, come back. I know it's just stuff, but we can rebuild. It's just, you know, you got to just get out of the way, you know.
Luke, you told me once before that if the water gets sucked out of the bay, you're all right. It's going to land somewhere else. But if the water stays in the bay, you guys are in big trouble.
Exactly. That's what we're hoping for. It looks like it's targeting Sarasota, and I'm not trying to, you know, hope for that, you know, to knock Sarasota. But, you know, I live in St. Pete, so I'd definitely like to see it south. Because about a year and a half ago, we had a storm come through, and the bay just sucked like 12 feet of water out of the bay. I mean, it was kind of an amazing sight to see Tampa Bay like minus 12 feet of water.
Yeah.
It was a pretty big deal.
Right, but of course, Naples got whacked that time, too. That was really bad.
Yep.
Yeah.
I heard the Tampa mayor say that you run from water, hide from wind. What does that mean?
Exactly. Well, basically, it's just a storm surge. You know, if you're in Zone A, get out of Dodge. Get out of there. Like, I'm hiding from the wind. I'm bunkering down my house. You know, I'm in Zone E. So I just got everything locked down, boarded up. It's ready to sit it out. Generator at the ready to fire up everything. So I got air conditioning, my refrigerators, everything's operational. Just, you know, usually you always lose the cable and internet. So then just stick to the radio.
Stick to the radio.
Yeah. They'll be putting a lot of air conditioners in next week, man. Hunker down. Thanks for the call.
No lying. I got 3 customers already called this morning to put them on deck for after the storm. They're not waiting for the insurance money. They want air conditioning ASAP when they get back. So I said, we're on it.
Well, good luck, Luke. We'll be thinking about you.
One couple.
At 28, he's still exactly the same.
I get what she's saying, and I mean, I'm not proud of it or anything.
One problem.
Marty is just one of those really picky eaters.
You decide the outcome.
I mean, I'm not going to not go out to eat with my husband, but I guess I don't really have a choice, so.
It's Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us to let us know what their disagreement is about, and then it's up for you to decide who's right. Couples Court is powered by BetterHelp. BetterHelp makes it easy to match with a licensed therapist. Get 10% off your first month of online therapy at betterhelp.com/Anna and Raven. Okay, Maya and Danny, you guys are engaged. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, we're very excited.
All right. So, Maya, what's going on? What's this disagreement we get to vote on?
My lovely fiancé wants to have a food truck wedding.
What is a food truck
wedding? I don't know if y'all heard of those before.
No.
So essentially, we're going to have it at a winery, and instead of having like a formal dinner or something like that, having a bunch of food trucks for people to eat from.
Okay.
So I have to say something. Like, she's making it sound way worse than it is. Like, let me give you a little background here. Okay, we love going to festivals. We love going to food trucks. We love trying different things. Like, it's our thing, you know? So when we're planning this, we're still going to have the big formal wedding and everything else. But I think, like, it's a nice spin and a nice touch to have, like, something that we are passionate about and care about represented with the food. I think it's an amazing idea. I think it's super fun. It's very us.
People are going to show up in their nice clothes, their formal clothes, and like be eating hot dogs and pizza from food trucks. Like, that's weird.
I mean, like, who, you still get the whole full experience. And like, who doesn't love a hot dog, and who doesn't love pizza? Who wants to sit there and have, you know, overcooked fish and overcooked beef and, you know, nasty pasta that's been sitting around? Like, this is prepared fresh with food trucks right outside. Like, I think it's an awesome idea. I don't know why she won't agree with me on it.
So, Maya, is your largest objection to this the service or the food itself? Is it just the casual delivery of it? Like, you want the formality of the sit-down?
Well, essentially, yeah. Like, I've always envisioned, like, you know, the nice dinner. Everyone, you know, they show up in their Sunday's best and having a nice dinner and sitting down at tables and all that kind of thing. Not, like, going up and ordering, you know, three tacos.
Yeah. Have you been to a food truck wedding yet, Anna?
No, I've never been to a food truck wedding, and it sounds absolutely incredible. But I do agree with Maya. Yes, but I do agree with Maya that I don't want that to be my wedding. Mm. I understand where she's coming from. If you have this vision of this beautiful winery wedding and everybody is formal, it's kind of funny to be like, go outside and order your tacos now.
I had about 6 clients this year that had food truck weddings. Virtually everybody has a dessert truck, I can tell you that. And most of them are bringing probably like a wood-fired pizza. So it is a bit of a setup that comes there. But, you know, I've had ones too where they're bringing different food options. How they serve it is part of how it will be received by your guests. Because, you know, they can have the truck there and be making the food out of the truck in its adjacent area. But they can also have, you know, kind of glove service to people, past hors d'oeuvres or whatever. But, I mean, again, if you envision people sitting down at a table and white linens and the like and you know, cutting through a prime rib, this is not that.
Let's see what the audience has to say. Food truck wedding. That is your food option. That is what you're feeding your guests. Can you do that if it's still a formal wedding?
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Would you want to have a food truck wedding? I mean, the idea of going to a food truck wedding is super cool, but the idea of actually having that be my wedding, I'm not on board with either. And that's exactly what's happening between Maya and Danny. They're engaged. They have like a vineyard wedding planned, but instead of hiring caterers, he wants to bring in all different food trucks as the food, the main food.
Well, listen, I mean, I've been to a couple of these weddings, and they have been a whole lot of fun. I think at the end of the day, though, Danny, you have to consider the fact is that if Maya is telling you that it's going to be an issue, this is your bride, it's her wedding day, and you have to take that into account. Would I like to go from truck to truck and pick up all my favorite foods? Oh, you bet. I would like to crash this wedding, personally.
All right, what do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Kate, whose side are you on?
I'm on her side. At first, I'm on his side, but I agree with her in the sense of, like, having older guests, like, keeping people stand up and walk up to a truck and order food. Like, I think just keep it formal. If it was just, like, your group of friends and your immediate family, I think it's fine. But if it's a full-blown wedding, I would say sit-down dinner for sure.
I didn't even think about that. Nonna trying to roll up to one of those food trucks. You would have a heart attack.
You get one of those trucks where the guy can throw it at you. That would have been all right?
I can imagine my grandfather sitting there with his homemade Italian wine and be like, what? What is this? You know?
Taco hits him upside the face as it flies out the door.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court. Couples Court Verdict is powered by BetterHelp. BetterHelp makes it easy to match with a licensed therapist. Get 10% off your first month of online therapy at BETTERHELP.com/AnnaandRaven. What do you think about having a food truck wedding? It's exactly what Danny wants. Danny and Maya are planning their wedding. She's always dreamed of like a really classy wedding. And he's like, you can have a classy wedding. We could still have it under the tent at the vineyard like we had always dreamed. Mm-hmm. But instead of caterers, we just get a bunch of different food trucks. Ta-da!
I mean, you say it like that, it doesn't sound great. Listen, I've been to plenty of events at wineries where they have food trucks, and it's a beautiful, lovely day. I think at the end of the day is it just comes down to what is your bride's vision, right? So if your bride is going to be unhappy, you can't do that because then you have to live with it the rest of your life.
Well, she thinks it cheapens it. Like for having a classy wedding,
I disagree,
she's asking people to wear, you know, gowns and suits and all that, and then you have them go to a food truck to get their food. But what do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Megan, whose side are you on?
Well, I think a good compromise would be maybe a dessert truck or a sweet and savory option like crepes at the end of the wedding, kind of as a send-off for a good time and a gift for guests.
Paul, whose side are you on?
Definitely on the woman's side. I mean, that sounds pretty cheesy. You have a wedding and you have like fast food or finger food, and that's it. And you think, you know, for the woman's sake, it's supposed to be really nice and she's going to remember it forever and think she wants like everything nice. I don't know. So to me, that sounds like, you know, a bunch of guys getting together and shucking clams and having beer.
You bring a lobster truck.
It sounds a little corny.
Those lobster trucks, food trucks, they're still like $30 a pop.
There's nothing cheap about it. Believe me. Ann Raven, who's this?
This is Will.
Will, what do you think? Whose side are you on today?
I'm on the fiance side today. I think it's a great idea and a great twist that he's come up with this idea. I think it's a great idea. I think they should go with it. They could still be formal.
Right. I mean, that's the thing is, you can dress up the server. So you can definitely have a banquet staff.
Yeah.
But it is weird to be wearing your gown and have to go to the food truck and get your pizza slice.
I think that this setting means a lot. So we do one where there's an actual carousel, and it obviously works very well there. But right, it's a little bit different. Mark, what do you think? Whose side are you on today?
We think this is an awesome idea. We're with the husband, and food trucks, there are so many really nice, high-quality food trucks now. It's not just hot dogs and wings and stuff. There's really good quality food.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Maya, our audience agreed with you today. But you know what? It's a nice thing, and maybe having a food truck afterwards with dessert or something outside for people to grab food on the way home is fun, but it should not be your primary source of feeding your guests.
Yeah, see, exactly. I'm glad people listened.
Danny, I think that, you know, when it comes to a winery and a lot of these places, they don't have their own kitchens. You know, I think it is an affordable food option. But if your bride's not going to be on board, I mean, that's a huge obstacle when it comes to your wedding day, right? You could have somebody, like Anna suggested, maybe show up and do apps and then desserts after or whatever. You still get that fun kind of atmosphere. There's nothing better than a late night snack for your guests. They love that.
Yeah, I guess we can talk about some compromise in there a little bit. But, I guess that's what it's going to be.
All right. If you have a problem, too, send an email. couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $1,900 thanks to Leaf Filter. Protect your home and never clean out gutters again with Leaf Filter, America's number one gutter protection system. Daniela, you ready to play today?
Yes.
Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, could you please leave the room?
You got it. Good luck.
Okay. Raven is walking out of here. That door is going to close, and we'll be in a soundproof studio. He can't hear us. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one, Daniela. I'll bring him back in and ask him the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready?
Yes.
Number one, Taylor Swift is now the world's richest female musician with an estimated worth of $1.6 billion. The richest musician overall is worth $2.5 billion, and he also founded Roc Nation. Who's that? That's time.
No idea.
Number two, yeah. Keanu Reeves made his professional auto racing debut this weekend, and he spun out. On Thursday, he will join Sandra Bullock in L.A. at the 30th anniversary screening of what movie?
Oh, my God. I have no idea.
Number three, people are trying to get Lyle and Eric Menendez to autograph a 1990 Mark Jackson basketball card because they're actually in the background of the picture sitting courtside. He played for what New York team in 1990?
The Knicks.
Number four, Doja Cat is denying engagement rumors to boyfriend Joseph Quinn, even though she was recently spotted at a music festival with the new ring. Joseph Quinn plays Eddie Munson on what hit Netflix series?
Stranger Things.
And number five, officials are warning to make sure when you're using your QR code that it's from a reputable source, because scammers are using QR codes to gather people's information. What does QR stand for in QR?
That's... I have no idea.
All right, let me bring Raven back in.
Oh, my God.
You.
2 out of 5 for Daniela.
Not great. Let's see how I do. Here we go. $1,900.
Number one, Taylor Swift is now the world's richest female musician with an estimated worth of $1.6 billion.
Good Lord, that's a lot of money.
It sure is. But the richest musician overall is worth $2.5 billion, and that guy also founded Roc Nation. Who is it?
That's Jay-Z.
Correct. Number two, Keanu Reeves made his professional auto racing debut this weekend, and he spun out. But he still came in 25th place out of 31, which means he beat other professional racers.
Excellent.
On Thursday, he will join Sandra Bullock in L.A. at the 30th anniversary screening of what movie?
Speed. It holds up. Watch it again. Trust me. Come on, Speed 3. Let's do this.
You guys are tied at 2. Number three, people are trying to get Lyle and Eric Menendez to autograph a 1990 Mark Jackson basketball card because they're actually in the background of the picture sitting courtside.
It's pretty wild.
He played for what New York team in 1990?
Played for the Knicks.
Knicks is correct. Number four, Doja Cat is denying engagement rumors to boyfriend Joseph Quinn, even though she was recently spotted at a music festival with a new ring.
Mm-hmm.
Joseph Quinn plays Eddie Munson on what hit Netflix series?
It's Stranger Things.
Yes. And number five, officials are warning to make sure when you're using a QR code, it's a reputable source, because scammers are using QR codes to gather people's information.
Yeah.
What does QR stand for in QR code?
Don't leave your stuff here. I don't know.
Quick response.
Quick response. Okay.
And I want to thank Christy. She supplied that question. And if you have an idea for a question, you can do that at annaandraven.com, too. All right. I'm sorry, Daniela. He beat you 4-2 today. That's going to get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
It's Daniela, and I can't beat Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl. And even $2,000 tomorrow, Anna.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.